Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. Welcome to the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast. I am your host, Mark R. LePage, and this is episode number 8. Like many architecture students, Brian Corcadillis and Vincent DeFazio had a dream of one day starting their own architectural design firm. But they didn't let the rules get in their way. While still attending Philadelphia University, Brian and Vince invited the top 10% of their class to join them, and they launched Design Blends LLC. Today, the multidisciplinary design firm serves architects and corporations throughout the United States. In this episode of the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, Brian and Vincent, both recent graduates, share their story and talk about how they started their firm while still in school and how they grew Design Blends into a full-time business. I know you're going to learn a lot from these two guys. I hope you enjoy it. Here's the interview. Vincent and Brian, welcome to the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast.
How are you?
I'm doing great. So there's two of you. So let's introduce who you are, what's your background, and tell us a little bit about what you're doing today.
You want to go ahead, Brian?
Brian, you start. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So my name is Brian Corcadillis. I recently graduated from a 5-year architecture degree from Philadelphia University. Essentially, right now, I own my own business called Design Blends LLC, and we actually kind of started as a collaborative while we were in college, And that's kind of where I am today. I'm doing that full time. And our staff currently in the office consists of two interns, myself, and everybody else who kind of works remotely.
Okay. And Vincent?
All right. I'm Vince DeFazio, and I also graduated from Philadelphia University, 5-year architecture degree, and currently living in Pittsburgh, PA, working with a small company on architectural component research and working remotely with Design Blends and Brian. Mainly competition work and any other work we can get that can be done remotely.
Okay, so let's Brian, why don't you talk a little bit about Design Blends and how that came about?
Sure.
And where it started and how it evolved to where it is today.
Yeah, so it actually started July 2011. It came up. It started as an idea. It was one night I was like, Vince, I called up my buddy Vince, and I was like, hey, why don't we start, an architecture or some sort of design blog? We wanted to start as a blog and start, because we love architecture, but we also love all the disciplines around the profession. We like industrial design. We like graphic design. We like fashion. So we were like, why don't we build a site dedicated to bringing all the latest news dedicated to those professions into one spot? And that's what we did, and we labeled it Design Blends.
And we set it up. I just wanted to interrupt real quick. You guys were still in school when you did this,
we're
right?
Still in school. We're juniors?
Juniors, okay.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, we're going into our junior year, actually.
Okay.
So, Yeah, so we said, I said, okay, I got the, you know, I had a web background coming out of high school. So I started getting the website going little by little. And we got, you know, Vince started writing because that's his specialty. Vince was, you know, that's what he does. He's really good at that. And, you know, we got it up and running. We made Facebook. We started getting into the social media, started acquiring followers to the site. And, yeah, then it just kind of started taking off from there. And, I mean, today, essentially, we're a full-service architectural consulting company that, you know, works with other architecture firms. And this literally happened only over a two-year time period while we were in school. But
so you guys recently graduated, right?
Yeah, we graduated in May 2013.
And so Design Blends now is your full-time work?
It's my full-time work, yep.
Yeah, okay. So how did it get from a blog to an architectural consulting company?
Sure. So I guess, so essentially we got to a point, you know, it's hard. I mean, it's really hard to keep going with a blog, keeping it fresh for your users every day. So there was actually a lull for a decent period of time, maybe about 6 or 7 months where, you know, we got busy in school with projects and everything. We just didn't have time. And then we got it up and running the next beginning of summer, and we started up the blog again. We even got even more followers this time, you know, because we were actually dedicating time to it. And then it got to a point where we actually tried to start making money off of, you know, the blog itself. We went with Google AdSense and started, you know, making a couple dollars a day here and there, but, you know, it adds up. And, you know, we were just like, you know, yeah, well, cool. We can make $30 a month. Or we were like, well, we're pretty good at, you know, what we do in school, you know, if not the best, you know. Essentially, when we started the services part, we took the top 10% of our class. And I know that may sound arrogant, but it was a smart thing to do. We took the top 10% of our students in our class and turned it into a business. And we started with small architecture firms reaching out, hey, you know, we can do renderings, and showing people our renderings. And they were like, wow, you know, this is great. You know, what will you do it for? And we, you know, we start with low prices because, you know, we're in college where you don't have like any expenses. We're all on loan money, right? So, and, you know, we just started building our reputation that way. And, you know, okay, wow, these guys do great work here. I know another guy who has an architecture firm. He needs renderings or here and there. And, you know, our website had so many followers too. So we had a lot of hits on Google. We're pretty, you know, high ranked up in Google. And especially when we added the services side to that, with, you know, our renderings, our model building, and craft and website design, we started getting hits, and we started getting people requesting quotes from us. And probably the big project that set us up and put us on the map and allowed us to do what we're doing today is we got a model from New Jersey American Water. They pretty much operate 1/3 of the pipelines in New Jersey, but they hired us to create it's an educational model that they can kind of wheel around and bring from, you know, classroom to convention and show people how the water, you know, works in New Jersey. So there's a whole like design scheme about that. And essentially it just kept growing, you know, references here and there and marketing ourselves. And it was just, it's really a nonstop process.
Okay. So let's go. I want to go back a little bit. And sure. A couple of things that you just said. You took the top 10% of your class, mm-hmm. and you started a business. I think that's yep. brilliant. Mm-hmm. So did you start this business knowing that the economy was terrible and that yep. it was going to be really difficult to get jobs, and this was a strategy to make sure that you guys were employed? Or was this just something you love to do, mm-hmm. and this is what, so you decided that this is what you wanted to do?
Yeah. I mean, first thing, we would not have all been able to do this without loving what we do. I mean, the hours of spent time of web coding, of rendering, you know, working sometimes on pennies on the dollar to do things, you know, you do it because you love it. But also we knew it would also grow our portfolio. You know, everyone comes out of school, you know, with, look at my project I did in my third year, look at my project I did in my second. I went to my career portfolio review with all professional work that I had done for firms already. Didn't even show any of my schoolwork. I just advertised Design Blends itself. And it's more, we did it because we wanted to do it. And we thought, we were always like, our goal was like, all right, we want, you know, office in Soho. That was always like the shot, right? We wanted an office in Soho, New York. And, you know, that's what we're shooting for, and that's, you know, it's getting there. We know we're going to get there one day.
We used to joke around a lot, you know, and say that we're going to, you know, one day have an architecture firm with all of us. And I think really prior to this actually happening, it really was kind of a dream. But as the work, you know, keeps coming along and as we keep kind of growing, we participate in these competitions now, it's becoming more of a reality. And that's pretty awesome to me because it was all of our dreams. And, you know, all of a sudden, just because of a little startup and a lot of our hard work together, we're able
and
to do that.
Relating and answering your question, I guess, related to the economy being bad, the economy is, you know, can be bad all the time. It's really what you make of it. It's really, if you're putting the time and effort in, you're going to make money in this economy. It has nothing, you know, the stock market plummeted. You know, we're not worrying about stock markets. We're worrying about, you know, getting, you know, there's always stuff being built. The world doesn't never stop building, right? So if you can find the clients to, you know, that know you do the top quality work, they're going to end up using you, right? And also our niche kind of came to where, I mean, it sounds messed up, but architecture firms started laying people off, right? I can't afford to hire somebody full-time to sit in my office 40 hours a week and do renderings for me because that's going to cost me, you know, $600. You know, I feel like I'd rather pay Design Blends $600 to do my rendering and not have to talk to them for a month until I need another one. You know, so it was like that niche that caught on and it was real popular when the, you know, economy was still down in the dumps. And it's still popular. People are still, you know, not hiring as much as they could be, right? They're tempted not to because it's a lot of overhead for them that they have to keep up with. Whereas us, we have very minimal overhead and we do things, you know, that are enough to support our lives, right? As long as we're paying our bills, you know, we're going to do things that, you know, live within our means.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening right now is that, that architects the firms have shrunk and they're starting to get busy again. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to hire. They don't want the expenses, and they don't want to take on the responsibility without knowing that this current economy that we're seeing this increase in the economy that it's real because we've seen a couple of false starts in the past few years.
Yep.
And that's exactly what's happening with me is that I've shrunk, and you know I'm very busy right now, and I have a small staff, and we have too much work. And rather than hiring, we're going to start outsourcing.
Exactly.
And so I think there's a lot of architects in that same place. So you guys are probably crazy busy right now.
Yeah. I mean, we're working actively with one firm in Philly now doing like a master plan. So essentially, you know, they come to us and a lot of older firms too, since they're not hiring new and younger generations, you know, they might not, some of the designers don't even know how to use CAD, right? They're old wigs, you know, they're great at what they do. But essentially, sometimes we get sketches from architects and they're like, put it in CAD. Okay, well, here's my hourly rate and this is what we'll do it for. And we do a great job, you know, like we're not just, you know, we know how to use CAD and all the programs that are, you know, available to us. So we're going to give them the top quality product because we want their work and we want their reference. You know, we're not going to skimp out on anything just because we can do it for a lower rate or anything. But
so how big is your team right now, and how is the business actually structured? Who, you know, how is it a partnership or is it owned by one person and then other people work for you?
Yep. So essentially, it's just an LLC. I own it myself, and then the team currently right now consists of myself, Vince DeFazio, who probably work pretty much on everything, and then we also have three interns at the moment who are actually from Philadelphia University, where we graduated from. So they're, you know, they're learning. They, you know, and they know, they, since they're younger, they, you know, they've seen us doing stuff and talking about our project and stuff. They want to learn too. And a lot of the times the interns are just like, I just want to know what it's like to start a business from scratch. And that's essentially what we did. And we're still growing, right? We're still learning as we go. We don't know everything. And we're fully aware of that. But, you know, they're seeing the marketing side of things. We also have other people too on hand that can do renderings. Scott Murphy is another guy. He's actually up in New York working at an architecture firm, but he's there full time if we need him. Tyler Dye, he works for HDR, and it's one of the top five firms in the world. He's down in Virginia, I believe.
Yep.
We also have Scott Woodruff. He works here in Philly at Meyer Design, so he can actually do renderings on the side if, you know, at night if need be. So our staff is, we're pretty full with work, and you know when the things come to it, like if I can handle it, great. If not, I'm going to send it out to, you know, whoever can do it quickest. It's more, you know, it's a collaborative effort, really. So.
And everything's virtual.
There's no
physical office that you're working from.
Oh, no, we do have a physical office, and it's actually, I work out of my house. it's a setup. You know, I have a desk, computer, I have two workstations.
Right, but your team isn't with you.
Oh, not it's, always, no.
You're in your own office, and they're in their own offices, and when you need to, you come together either physically or by internet. Yep.
Exactly, and one of my roommates is actually on the team as well, Scott Woodruff. So you know he's pretty he knows what's going on a lot too. But yeah, I mean most you know if we have to get together we will. You know especially if we get a model building job, then, you know that's going to bring a lot of people back as well, or on the weekends or at night. So.
So what's the bulk of your services now? What's the majority of your work?
Right now, I'm surprised what it is, but right now it's a lot of websites. We're actually. Doing a couple websites. I just actually finished one up for a Mexican restaurant in Avalon, New Jersey. It's called tortillaflatsavalon.com. They're, you know, just a small business. And it's a lot of word of mouth, too. Like, you know, they saw kind of previous websites I did. They're like, this is awesome. I give them a decent rate. And, you know, they're already spreading the word that how great their site was. I just actually got a text message from Jen, who's the daughter of the owner. She was saying that she already has people that want a website from us. So she wanted some of our business cards. I'm working on a website now for architecture firms, for MVP architects out in Warrington, PA, but that's not done yet. They have a lot of projects and stuff that are going on. I also have another website coming up that I'm waiting on a contract that should be here tomorrow from Kingswood Furniture. It's actually a friend of ours who dropped out of architecture school. You know, long story, but he is actually opening up his own custom woodworking company out in Coatesville, PA. So he's pretty excited about that. And I'm also working actively on a new Design Blend site that's strictly dedicated to our services, but that's kind of under wraps still until we get to it.
We also have a lot of competition work too right now. We've been keeping pretty active, I guess. We're lucky enough to have the intern resources that we do. And they're really talented. And we're lucky to have that kind of just following whatever we can, whatever is out there. We try to put our name out there as well. We're pretty confident that our work one day can get us recognized in the even in the ranks of some of these bigger firms. We have a lot of great designers on board and a lot of people that can make things look really pretty. So that's the other half of that. You know, Brian said it best. You know, he's not a big fan of being an architect, but he does like the design. He likes to make things look great, and that's why he's great with the sites. And then. On the other half of that, we kind of handle the competition things and all the other architecture-related things.
Mm-hmm. What kind of competitions are you doing?
Currently, right now, the one we're working on is for one that we just started is called Create the Workplace of the Future. It's pretty much Metropolis is actually running it, but it's essentially, you know, it's creating a new workplace of the future. I mean, Vince, you want to elaborate more on that one? Because you're kind of...
It's basically kind of, it gives you three scenarios to choose from, you know, think about the office and the workplace in the future, whether it's going to be in a multinational corporation building, at a home, or just anywhere. Where can this office happen? What kind of amenities are necessary for you to perform, you know, your tasks there? Kind of making it a blanket workspace for anybody. You know, it can range from an architect can use it to an accountant can use it. But it's pretty interesting. It's definitely getting our creative juices flowing.
And also the other competition we're working on too is the San Francisco firehouse from the 1906 fire. So I guess, you know, 1906, a fire burnt down a third of the city. So now they're taking competitions work for a new firehouse to be created. And it's sort of a student / young architect professional competition. So it's not going to be like, you know, Big isn't going to be entering this or Zaha Hadid. It's actually, they're looking for student and young architect entries. So that's actually pretty good. We're pretty confident with our ability on that. We've been working on that one for a few months, so I look forward to seeing that hopefully in the top of the entries, we're hoping. So you never know.
And the competitions are all, you do them for PR just to kind of get your name out there?
Yeah, we do them for PR to get our name out there, but also, you know, we're hoping to win. I mean, some of them, like the firehouse one is, you know, it's an entrance fee, and then, you know, top entries do get prize money from that, so it's also doing it for that sense. The Workplace of the Future is actually free to enter, and I believe they're giving away $7,500 to the winning team.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's, you know, we're doing it for fun too. It, you know, keeps the juices flowing, because a lot of times when you're working with these firms, you know, we're sitting in CAD for a lot of the stuff. You know, it's not, you know, it's like sitting in our normal office in an architecture firm, right? You know, I'm in CAD doing, you know, CDs or something. Whereas this is allows us to keep our creative juices flowing and keep, you know, our design sense growing.
So when you went through your list of services, a lot of those services, I can, you know, I get emails every day from firms from China and South America doing very similar things to what the services that you're providing. How do you compete with those types of companies?
I'll be honest, a lot of people don't want to use those companies. And a lot of times you get what you pay for over there. I mean, I've done my heavy research, and what we're doing is, I mean, the renderings that you'd pay for from us, you're not going to pay much more from China, and they're going to look 100 times better. I know personally some of the firms like HDR, they use Chinese to the Chinese rendering firms to just do their renderings. They'll pay them $200. They send them a drop bulk list of items, and they go over there and come back within 48 hours with a rendering that, you know, someone in their second or third year of architecture school could do. And it's, you know, it's a shame. But
we also have we have a personal appeal, I think, and yeah, I realize now we do have competition. There are other firms in the country and even in our region that are like us, but we are kind of a very small group of people. We're very reachable, and we have very flexible hours. That's one of our biggest selling points, I guess, coming from school is, you know, we've actually made a couple deadlines that need to be done by like the next day. So we do have quite a few things working for us, and we're building our client list and building, you know, hopefully our references are getting bigger and everybody seems to be happy with our work. So I think that we have that to our side, and we do tend to have lower price because we are, you know, we don't have the kind of overhead that some of those render farms may. And I do think, I believe that our images and anything we produce, first of all, it's going to look better for the price you're paying for it. And second of all, you know, if something's wrong, it's almost immediate. You know, you shoot one of us back an email and it'll be revised within the day, you know, whenever you need it to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
do you do active marketing to kind of tell your story so people, you know, so firms who are looking for firms like yours can find you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we don't tell the full story of how we came to be. I mean, that's going to be more on our new website. We're kind of going to have a history section, but we do have, you know, marketing packets we send out. Essentially, we just generate a list. You know, we're working in Pennsylvania, New Jersey mainly. So we generate a list off the AIA website, essentially, to look at all the architecture firms, go through and actually browse them, see what they do. And, you know, if they don't have a nice website, we write a cover letter dedicated to saying, hey, you know, we see you do all this great work, but it's not being showed properly on your website. Maybe you consider an update, or, you know, if you're interested, you know, give us a call. And we've gotten work that way as well. So it's really kind of knowing who you're marketing to, in a sense. You know, we just don't blast the same thing out to everybody. That doesn't work. You're wasting your time. You really got to understand what the firm does, you know, what their strengths and weaknesses are, and try to cater to that.
It's essentially applying for a job. I mean, that's how we've looked at it. A lot of us, you know, we realized we did have to apply for a job towards the end of school. We were actually simultaneously working on, you know, cover letters for these companies for design blends. We were catering each cover letter to, you know, we were taking the time to research what they needed and we were sending out physical packs, you know, whereas, you know, you may experience, you get some emails from some of these firms out there that do the same thing we do, and they're mass produced. We are trying to personalize them. That's what we really like to do. We like to get to know our clients, and we like to have that kind of relationship with them.
So what type of marketing are you using? Are you using social media and email and any direct, you know, and direct mailing kind of stuff?
Yep, we're doing all that, actually. We're using social media, pretty much Facebook, Twitter. And then we're also kind of starting a YouTube thing. We actually recently got into animations, 3D animations. So we're hoping that kind of kicks up and that kind of brings more people in. Our physical mailers consist pretty much of a folder that, you know, it's custom folders made. We have inserts for those folders. And then on the one side is like a business card / their personal cover letter that we all type up to them. And then we mail them in a nice envelope. It's almost, I guess it would be like a 10x12 envelope, one of the manila ones. Something bigger, but it's just a white manila envelope with like our logo on it, and then, you know, custom typed out to them. So it's like, you know, it's more personal when you get something that's not just like an envelope or like a flyer in the mail. It's something that you're opening, you're interacting with. Like, the coolest thing I'll tell you is when I sent one to this firm up in Warrington for this website we're working on, and they call me and they're like, all right, come up to the office, and I see this, our folder just chilling on the principal's desk, opened with like our flyer out. It's, you know, it's the greatest feeling. It's like, it worked, it hit. you know, and all it takes for, you know, all these marketing resources, it takes one person to say, okay, we'll use you for rendering, and it pays for itself, you know? So at the end of the day, it becomes worth it.
Yeah. And we're starting now, we're kind of, you know, as Brian was saying, we're working on a new website, strictly dedicated to what we do service-wise. And we're kind of starting to shift now, kind of putting it more as, you know, this is, we're here almost as like your, you know, I guess assistant, or, you know, it's not necessarily the right word, but I was telling Brian what we really do is we're trying to help you tell your story.
Yeah.
That's what we're really interested in, as he was saying, with these new animations that we've really been trying to nail down and get right, because, you know, we can provide these things for a reasonable cost, and it's helping the architect not only produce something that's valuable for the client, but it's helping their work shine in the best way, which is, you know, then positively affecting the field. You know, better designs are coming out, they're being shown the better lights.
Yeah, and it's also, too, we're going to be getting into marketing packages that we can do for individual firms as well. Like, hey, we'll do your website, we'll update your logos, we'll get everything, you know, your project's looking right. And even helping some firms, like this one firm in Warrington, they're actually going to be using us to do, like, presentation design, essentially, for, you know, jobs. So they'll send us all their stuff and say, hey, can you make it look pretty? And that's what we're good at, you know. We can put it into a cohesive layout that'll, you know, shine for their clients, so...
So what's your plan for the future? How are you going to ultimately get that studio in Soho?
Okay. So, I mean, right now we're growing the business. Essentially, I'm actually working on my realtor's license. That's what I'm doing now. We're actually going to start, we've always talked about it, but I mean, my goal for this company is to keep the services growing, but I personally myself want to get into real estate and flipping houses. So that's kind of the next thing, is actually, you know, starting to look at properties, starting to get, you know, start renting properties and generating a fixed income into the business as well, almost like a sub LLC to Design Blends itself. Mm-hmm. So we can start to hopefully, you know, I can pay Vince full time to work with me. Then I can only pay him, you know, when we get jobs, you know. Right. So essentially starting to grow little by little that way, but staying within, you know, the architectural discipline.
And I think that's kind of where it's nice to have, you know, we have a very wide variety of talents on this team, and having Brian kind of do that, it might enable us to spend more time or more money trying to go after either more competitions, more rendering work, even, you know, trying to find our own design jobs. And it's going to continue to grow. You know, we essentially are looking at this as just, you know, the beginning of the process. It's a very slow process, and, you know, it sometimes looks like it's impossible, but we've been pretty good at maintaining that, you know, we're growing, and we have these goals down the line. And I think that office in Soho is going to come along eventually.
Hopefully it's in Soho and in Cal. Hopefully you have a couple.
That's right.
Yeah.
One in each major city.
Yep.
That's what I wanted to ask you. I just went blank. Traditional practice. I mean, you guys went to architecture school, you graduated. Do you imagine that eventually Design Blends will do traditional architecture as well, where you'll do buildings?
Personally, we have the capabilities to do that now. You know, there's so many ways, you know, I don't want to say around it, so I don't want to look like, taking a shortcut, but I mean, you know, we have confidence that we can do the documentation to design a residential house. I have so much faith in my team that it's, you know, it can be done. We have one coming up. It's going to be our first test. We have a 2-car garage addition to a residential home. It's coming up. So we're going to find out real quick. But the thing that worries me is like, okay, I can't stamp the drawing. Well, you know, there's people I can go to, you know, $400 or $500, they'll stamp it, you know, they'll look it over. There's architects that do that. And I mean, it sounds shady, but, you know, at the end of the day, I don't have the liability, and, you know, they do.
Yeah. Well, in order to do that, you kind of work in tandem with that architect.
Exactly.
And then you can do that above board.
Yep.
If you just go and, you know, do all the work and then have somebody stamp it, that's illegal.
Yeah. No, it's not that, but yes, you know, we have architects that we can work
exactly.
with.
Exactly. You can work with them and, yep, exactly. and they can oversee what you're doing.
Yep.
You know, one of the things that I've thought about in the past, and I haven't written any blog posts on it, but I've tweeted about it a couple of times, is students coming out of architecture school, starting their own firms like you guys have, and then hiring licensed architects to work for you.
That's
and then
the next
do thing. Your IDP using them as your mentors.
Oh, definitely.
And then you don't have to work for anybody. You guys can come right out of architecture school, and I think students should be doing this all over the country. Coming out of architecture school, starting your own firms right off the bat.
Yep.
Doing consulting for other architects, and eventually get it. Build enough business where you can hire somebody full time and have an architect on your staff. I don't know if that's possible, but I don't see why it wouldn't be possible.
That's definitely not in the not out of the realm. I mean, that's, we've talked about that, we've thought about that. It's always been like, okay, some of us are going to go get licenses, we're going to come back and start this collaborative and growing more. But I feel like I have to start even before then. I feel I'm gonna have to hire an architect before Vince is even licensed. It's gonna get to that point where we get that job that comes in and says, all right, we got we got three row homes. Can you design them? Of course. I'm going to tell the client, of course. So I'll meet with you next week. And within three days, I'm going to have an architect hired. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
So.
And then you can hire Vincent full time and he can go through IDP with this new guy.
Exactly.
Or girl.
That's what the goal is. I mean, that's what we want to do. We understand that we still have quite a ways to climb right now, but like you said, there's a lot of ways to do this. And, it's just right now we kind of have to settle for what we need to do right now, which is, pay some bills. And
yep.
Design Blends is supplementing a little bit, of what we need to do that. But essentially, yeah. Since it's still growing, we kind of need to rely on other means. Yeah. But the goal one day is just to completely transfer over from there. And I think it's a good idea if you have a bunch of friends, you're really good friends, and you stick together through it. It's a possibility for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and the reason I wanted you guys on the podcast is because I wanted to get this message out that there's other ways of doing what we do.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
You don't have to, do architecture school, get your internship, take your exam, work for somebody. You can do it any way you want to do it. You just find a way to do it.
Yep.
And I mean, I'll be straight up. I mean, the thing for me, I mean, it's, they say it's not about the money, but at the end of the day, it is. And it's sad to hear what some of my friends kind of came out of school and what they're being offered from architecture firms. It's terrible. I can go and be a waiter down the street from where I am and make more money. It's terrible. And it's a shame that students need to go through that, sit and, make $36,000 a year and try to get their license to hopefully make $80,000 when they have their own firm. It's terrible.
Yep.
And that's the thing where I was like, there's got to be another way. And, we started it.
kind of going off that too. I mean, there, like you said, there's other ways to do things. We're not strictly, we're finding this out now more and more. We're not strictly architectural. We learn so much in school. We can be graphic designers, you can be industrial designers, be interior designers. We have such a long list of talents on this team, as I've said before. So we have gotten into those situations where we are a graphic designer and where we are, doing web design. And we even, we've been working with apps for our website, just kind of messing around with new things, new technologies, learning new things, because sometimes you need to rely on those other things to get your other foot in the door. But I think what's important is always stay true to what you are. And we love design. We love, making things look great. And we love, having presentability factor. And everything we do carries that motto through.
Yeah, I've always even thought about it too sometimes. What if we were just an all-purpose stop design firm, not just architecture, but, we have an industrial design staff. We have a fashion design staff. What if their Design Blends was an entity that did it all? And then, we had subdivisions that, wouldn't be a team of five, it would be a team of 500 people. I hope it could get to that point. I really do.
Yeah, it absolutely can go there. You just have to plan it and go there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be one of those episodes that people are going to want to listen to, because you guys have done what a lot of architecture students dream of doing. And I think there's a lot of recently graduated architects that coming out of architecture school who are in complete panic mode right now.
Yeah. And I mean, I've had people ask me for jobs. I've had people my year, people below me, you got anything for me?
What's your advice, some tips on how to do what you did?
Find a group of friends that you're really close with, kind of like we did. We were lucky enough, as Brian said, we have some of the best people we think and our class represented in our group. So we were lucky to have that. But find friends that you are, you know, close with, that you can work well with, and set a goal and just go there. You know, we set this thing started out as just a, you know, I think it actually originally was going to be a social site for architects, and, you know, there's already those out there. So it's going to be a blog site, but there's already those out there. So it just kept kind of transforming and eventually became this service thing. And it's going to grow past that as we continue to grow. But you need to realize that everything is kind of like a marathon. You know, you're not going to get there if you, you know, sprint at the beginning. You need to pace yourself, and you need to realize that you're not going to make it all in one night.
Yeah, we learned that. You know, we try. Remember, I mean, the blog was a great hit, and like we laxed off because we couldn't, you know, keep it going. You know, if we had just put out one article a week, we might have even gained more followers. I guess my advice would be, you know, after kind of, you know, running a whole crew of mine and stuff, it's, you know, don't. My advice is, like, you can't give up. You just can't. I mean, if you stop, if you get irritated, you know, there's days when I sit here in the office and I'm like, wow, you know, I haven't gotten a call from anybody all week, you know, and then finally a week later, you know, I get an email, okay, we got this job. So now, you know, then that covers us for a few months, right? So it's always, don't let yourself down. You always got to keep thinking positive. You know, if you have negative energy about yourself, your company's not going to do anything, and you're not going to ever get to where you want to be in life. You know, stay positive with what your goal is, and you'll achieve it.
Excellent. Excellent. So what's the best way for people who are listening to contact you guys?
Sure.
And either say thanks, or, you know, even if they have some work for you, you know, to contact you.
Yeah, I mean, anything, you can send pretty much info@designblends.com. We'll get to me and my staff, or you can send it personally to myself, Brian@designblends.com. Or if you want to email Vince, you can email Vince@designblends.com. Maybe check out our site. I mean, we like our site, but you know, there's some changes we're going to be making in the, you know, the near future. We're actually, our new website is going to be db-serve.com. I guess I can release that. Hopefully it'll be complete by the time this podcast goes out. But you know, we're a dedicated staff of people that love what we do, and we're going to do it at the most affordable rate for anybody out there. So.
Yeah, we really pride ourselves on making sure that everybody's happy with what we give them. You know, if there's like a line that's in the wrong place, back and changed things. It's ridiculous, but it's how you keep a client happy, which then gets you word of mouth. And ultimately, you know, for me, I know for Brian, he's more of our money guy. And for me, I guess I'm more of the design. You know, I really think it's important that, you know, when you have something it's designed that you spend all that time, it's shown in the best light. And I think that we have possibility to do that for anybody. So,
I mean, my greatest thing that I say to my clients, and, you know, they agree, is like, we can't afford to fail. And I know it's like, you know, there's always opportunity for failure, but we can't, because our reputation and our line of work depends on it. You know, if you give us a model job and we don't, you know, pull through, for one, we lose all the money that you gave us up front. And two, you know, you're not going to do business with us, and you're not going to tell anybody to do business with us. You know, so we can't fail. It's essentially what it comes down to.
Yep. You know, I think Vincent had a very good point that Brian is the business guy, and that and it's great to have a bunch of students who want to start a business, and everybody's creative and everybody wants to go gung ho and make and be successful. But if there's five designers and there's no business guy, that's not going to work.
I mean, there's an architecture collaborative, right? Wasn't it what's the name of it? Right. That they were all worried about design, and no one cared if the lights were paid, you know, the electrical was paid, and they're not in business.
So,
right.
So if there are students out here who want to do what you guys did, even if they're not an architect, go find a business guy. Find somebody who is into what you want to do, and understands how business works, and get him on the team or her on the team, or go out and learn that stuff yourself, and find somebody who likes to do that kind of stuff, and make that person part of your team as well.
I mean, I'll be honest, I never anticipated, you know, liking that stuff. I mean, I had, you know, family members that own businesses and restaurants and things, but never. I was like, you know, I want to be an architect. I want to do drawings and make buildings. Okay. I did it, and I don't like it. So, but I love the profession so much to where I found that, you know, business was, you know, dealing with clients and writing up the contracts and, you know, the legal things. That's like what I enjoy most. I enjoy when I sit and I struggle on a piece of paper. I know it sounds terrible. When I sit and look at a piece of paper and try and crunch numbers for an hour and a half, figuring out what the best possible price I can get for one of our services is. And then when the client goes, oh yeah, that's a fair price, or, you know, negotiating with them. That's really what I enjoy.
So, yeah, I like giving them a pretty picture.
You guys make a great team. So. All right. Well, thanks guys for being here. I think this has been incredibly inspiring. I think there's going to be a lot of people, you know, a lot of students and a lot of emerging professionals, even, you know, experienced architects kind of listening to what you guys did and will be inspired to go out and do it themselves. So thanks for being with me today. And
thank you.
And
thanks.
And just one other quick thing. Are you guys on Twitter?
We are. Design Blends.
At Design Blends.
Yep.
And it's DESIGNBLENDZ.
Yeah, the Z. Yes. Z is very important.
Yeah. Okay. So Design Blends with a Z.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you being with me tonight.
Thank you.
Mark. All right.
Bye-bye. Bye.
So what are you waiting for? What's your dream? It doesn't matter how old you are or the situation in which you find yourself. If you want something, the way to get there is to make a plan and go there. I hope you found this episode interesting, informative, and inspiring. And if you liked what you heard, please click over to entrearchitect.com/iTunes and give the podcast a star rating. And if you want to leave me a review and tell me what you think of the podcast, I'd be grateful for that too. Before I sign off, I want to remind you that hundreds of architects and design pros have already subscribed to the Entrepreneur Architect Report. That's my free weekly newsletter. Each week, I share a personal story about me, my firm, or my family, and I include links to the most recent articles and to some really great resources. So, if you think the Entrepreneur Architect Report is something that you would find interesting, click over to entrearchitect.com/newsletter and subscribe today. I promise it'll be worth your time. So that's it for this episode. Until next time, my name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an Entrepreneur Architect. Thanks for listening.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns. What's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you.
In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.